I'd like to welcome you to our 124th annual Ash Wednesday service. I don't know if it's been 124 years. Is that right? I don't know. Don't matter. Let's say. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
Amen. Let us pray. O God, maker of everything and judge of all that you have made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent of our sins and lead lives worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first of four scriptures today is from the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, and again 12 to 17. Hear now God's word. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent to leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of God for the people, God. Thanks be to God. Joel today speaks of a great calamity that God is warning the people of Israel about. Now, they do give you a clue as to what that calamity is. And what that calamity is excuse me, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was seen in ancient times or ever will be seen in ages to come. Any idea what that calamity might be? It's locusts. A plague of locusts before, stronger than anyone has ever seen before. And locusts, of course, the rest of the scripture, the part I didn't read, says something like, prior to the army, before the army, it's like a Garden of Eden. After the army, it'll be a desolate wasteland. God warns them because they have been living their own lives, doing what it is that they want to do above and beyond what God desires them to do. What we see, what sin is it's saying, I know what's right for me, and I don't care what God thinks. And so the warning of the calamity. But I like that immediately after God describes the calamity, he says, even now, return to me with all your heart and fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Though God warns them about a great calamity that could overtake them, God also gives them an out. God gives them love. God offers them forgiveness, a chance to humble themselves. A chance to follow God once again. And God says all the ways that they can do it. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, the bridegroom and the bride, the priests, so that they may know that I am God. I'd like you to take a few moments to reflect. Reflect on the times that you've lifted yourself above God's desire for your own lives. Times that you felt God pulling you in a particular direction and you just did your own thing. And then reflect on how God responded to that. Please take a few moments to reflect on that. Our next scripture today is from the book of Psalm, chapter 51, verses 1 to 17. Hear now God's word. For the director of music, a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and your mouth will declare your praise, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Psalm 51 holds a very important place in my heart. I was going through a rough time when I was in Jamonville, working as a counselor there. Shame over some things that I had done, not happy with who I was and how I was living. And then I read the Psalm of David. It should say in the beginning, a Psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and then killed her husband. All that kind of goes into the same time. David's sin before the Lord was great, but it was just before the Lord, meaning no one else really knew about it. He kept it secret, kept it quiet. Could have hidden it. But of course God knew. Nathan came up to him and told him what he had done. And that God knowing for David was enough. He knew he had done wrong. God had blessed him with so much, had given him so much, and he abused the power. He abused the power. He used it for his own desire and not for the best of those whom God had put him in charge of. And he pleaded to God with his life, his heart, his very self, trying to humble himself as best that he could, realizing that what he did was full of shame. And he said, "I was sorry," over and over and over again. What I like, though, about this particular scripture is that he sought forgiveness from God, but not just so that he would feel better about himself, not so that his conscience would be clean, not so that he wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. He sought God's forgiveness in order that he may use his forgiveness to teach others their ways, or God's way. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you." He sought forgiveness so that he could better love others, so that he can better serve others. We've received forgiveness in our lives, but not merely just to make our lives better, which it does, but so that we may help others who were in the same position as we were, walk them through the journey that we've already been on, show them forgiveness and love as God has shown us and shown David. So I ask that you reflect on the moments that God has forgiven you, so that you may better serve others. Please take a few moments. Amen. Our next scripture today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20b to 6:10. Hear now God's word. "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commended ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distress, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our story of Paul is always a very interesting one. We know Paul, prior to the road of Damascus, that he helped to persecute the church of Jesus, known by then as the Way. Paul thought he was doing the right thing because he thought he was protecting what God had given to him in the Jewish way of life. But Jesus met him on the road. And then in that time, he became blind. And he had to listen to Jesus at that point. And in listening, he heard he was forgiven. He heard that he was given a different purpose. The same, but different. To share the message of God, but this time through Christ Jesus. Paul was given another chance. I know that you know what it means to have another chance. to be forgiven, to try again, to know that though you have failed, that you are still loved. Paul knew it better than many. And he used that passion and that love and that excitement of his forgiveness to do this. He made 4 missionary journeys, traveled all over that part of the world, sharing with everyone the love of Christ. His journeys put him through pain and hunger and discomfort, but he found joy. He found excitement. He found a God who was always with him every step of the way in spite of his past. And that same love, that same forgiveness through Jesus Christ is with us too. We are about to take ashes here in a few moments. They are to remind us that we are mortal, that we won't last forever, that our time here on earth is limited, as was Paul's. But he did the best with that time as he possibly could. And he did well. I pray that we follow suit. I ask that you take a few moments to reflect on how Christ has forgiven you, though we have a very checkered past, and what Christ may be calling us to do in that forgiveness. Please take a few moments to reflect on that. Our final scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, and again 16 through 21. Hear now God's word. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where the thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This too has always been a challenge to me in my life. We have a member who used to go here. Many of you know George Silawash. He had a term. Many of you are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that kind of stuff, right? Maybe just a little, kind of know a little bit what's going on there. If you put content on that site, people have the opportunity to like it. And it feels good to have people like it. George used to call that stuff imaginary internet points. Because what does it truly mean? It might mean you're clever. It might mean that you've, you know, touched them where they are or whatever the case is. But people tend to be fickle. We see that all the time through Instagram. One day when the person's saying the right thing, people are loved. And then as soon as they say something wrong, then they're hated. People leave them in droves. But it's nice to be liked by people. And sometimes we model our lives, we live our lives in such a way that people will like us. But in doing that, we lose ourselves. We lose who God created. And who God created is someone very special and wonderful. We're put here for a purpose, as we are, that we may serve in that capacity, because no one else can do what God has us do. No one can do it quite like anybody else. But yet the draw to have other people like us is so very strong. This scripture today challenges us. It challenges us to live our lives for God alone. It challenges us to live for Christ and to please Christ. Because in doing that, then our lives are secure for now and ever. I'd like to share with you this invitation to the observance of Lenten discipline. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's Passion and Resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent. By self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance, beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now bow before our Creator and Redeemer, and let us pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for this time to be reminded of our need for you. It's time to be reminded that we are maybe doing our best, but sometimes our best isn't good enough. But also to be reminded that you have stepped in for us, that you help us, that you mold and shape us, that you give us not only forgiveness, but the strength to live how you desire us to. We thank you, Lord, that you have created us, that you provide for us, and help us to trust you every day of our life. We pray this now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go in peace.